Alrighty, everybody, welcome to our podcast. This is episode number 2, and today our guest is Josue. Josue, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi everyone. Yes, I'm Josue Pereira. Currently an account manager at Emerald Landscaping in Livermore, kind of in the Bay Area, but alumni from Cal Poly, graduated in 2022 with environmental management and protection, and also used to be in Latinos in agriculture. I was an officer, I was an ag council rep, so that was a good time. So it's pretty cool to be back speaking with with you and like students that are still involved with the club.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's an honor. We had met at an event. Well, we had previously met in Latinos and Ag, but we recently saw each other about 2 weeks ago and would ask if he wanted to be on our podcast, and he was honored to do so. And now we are here today. So first I want to start off by saying like thank you. We appreciate your time because I know you just came out of work and now you're doing a podcast. So thank you again. But yeah, I just wanted to see like how your upbringing was and like what led you to come to Cal Poly and stuff like that. How was that like?
So I mean, I grew up very simple, like single mom and my older sister for like a majority of my life. After like maybe like all of like middle school to high school, I think I moved around a lot. We couldn't afford to like stay in one home, so we were like always a para aquí para allá with like in Hayward though. So I'm from Hayward, and I moved maybe like three schools in middle school until I finally landed at like the fourth one, and that's when I stayed there in middle school, high school. And yeah, within those schools, it was like a charter school program that was really about like getting to college and like college track kind of thing, right? So yeah, eventually, when it came to high school and I was applying to schools, I didn't have like a dream college or anything. I wasn't like, I better get into this one, or I hope I get into that one, pero I just like applied and hoped for the best. I was crossing my fingers. I was applying for environmental engineering. So when Cal Poly accepted me, I was like low-key surprised because I didn't think I was gonna get into a polytechnic with engineering. But we did it. So I was like, hey, we have to go. I hadn't even visited the college or nothing. Like full sent it. And told my parents, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go. And they're like, 3 hours away. No, hijo, don't go. My mom was hurting because like I was like her baby because I'm the younger sibling. And my sister just went to San Jose State, so we could at least see her here and there. But yeah, that was kind of like the journey, the little journey. Getting into Cal Poly was like kind of a big step. My mom didn't go to college or anything like that. So me and my sister are like the first generation to make it out and about, as far as like our like direct line under my mom and my dad.
And so you
But
said
it's cool.
you said you had joined as engineering. So what made you choose into like cafes or the College of Ag, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I didn't want to learn about water no more. Environmental engineering was like, dude, it was so much. I think what hurt me the most was probably physics. I loved and enjoyed math for so long in my life, and I loved and enjoyed chemistry, and then it got like extra complicated on topics that I don't think I necessarily wanted to focus on when it came to like my career. And I started thinking about like, what am I trying to get out of college? And it's not like just learning and get a degree and then dip and just apply to jobs. Like I wanted to do something that I wanted to apply like after I left. And I started noticing, I was like, okay, if I keep doing this, it's like, am I gonna be doing what I want to do with my life? Because it started feeling like if I stayed in the environmental engineering track, it was going to be like water quality engineer or like just staying at like facilities and things like that. But I knew in my heart that like when I went into environmental engineering, the reason I did it is because like I care about the environment. I wanted to learn about like plant families, and I wanted to learn about how can I be outside and apply like different like techniques. And also engineering because I like to build things and I like to like use my hands. So I thought that was the right way. But then I found environmental management and protection around second year. So kind of late, like I was almost done with all like my GEs for environmental engineering is bad. But yeah, I chose environmental management because they were more focused on like how can we apply like issues that we've learned in the past, like where did we go wrong on environmental impact? What can we do better? How can we quantify environmental impact? What are techniques that we can use to like improve our sustainability practices, or what plants do we recommend to grow in these areas, and how do you recognize them? So I thought it was like that was kind of part of what I wanted to do, you know?
And then how did you get involved into like the ag aspect or Latinos in that? Because I know the environmental aspect, a lot of people don't consider it agriculture. A lot of people like it's more on the plant horticulture aspect, but it still is under the umbrella. So how do you think like you were introduced or now that you work at a more agriculture based?
So definitely agriculture as a whole has a huge environmental impact. So one of the, like, I guess like one of the sections of like what we learned in one of my classes about like what is like pollution and what has the most impact, like the whole system of agriculture and like creating food and sustaining like our population like alive in general, like falls under like ag being a business model that also has like pollution and like systems that we are trying to see how can we make them circular instead of like just being like front to end, like waste all the time. So that was kind of like within the class aspect. And then within like the people I knew, I had like so many homies in like ag business. What else were they in? I don't remember. There was other majors. Oh my God, it's been a minute. But I had like four friends that were already in Latinos in agriculture. One of them was like the president, like Marlene Estrada. And I was like, dude. And then eventually they were my housemates. So I was like, okay, like I haven't really found a space where there's like a lot of Latinos at Cal Poly. And it was like maybe like still my first year, I think, like around second quarter of my first year, or maybe even first quarter, where I was like, where are the Latinos at, bro? Like I hadn't visited Cal Poly and I was like, okay, it's just a bunch of white people. And then everyone was like, yeah, you didn't know? It's like the whitest CSU. And I was like, oh, didn't know. Like, I just pulled up because I was like, oh, it's Polytechnic. Let's go do it. There's beaches nearby, whatever, lo que sea. But yeah, it's cool to meet friends that were already within the club, and they were like excited about like manners and excited about having the opportunity to bring like professionals to come speak to our students. And I was like, wait, this is really cool. Like, at least we get to connect students to people who they can like relate to. So I really liked that mission, and that's why I kind of stuck with the club all the way.
It's kind of cool how like you were introduced, like not coming from an agriculture background, but then seeing how much of an impact it is. But like being in agriculture or like during school or even at your job, do you face a lot of challenges or barriers like that you see that most people, like perhaps not people of color, but people of color, like usually go through? Like, would you say it's harder for you to like get a higher position or get a higher pay or any of that?
You know, I was actually speaking to one of the employees today about it, where like being in, so I'm working in a landscaping company, right? And I'm a manager, and I came in, and I'm a lot younger than a lot of the employees. Many of them have been working there for like 5 years, some of them 10, some of them 15 years. I've been working in the same position, like crew leaders, where they go out on the routes and they do the maintenance for different properties. And I think something that impacts that, where I notice and I'm like, they're so good at what they do, but it does tend to feel like they don't feel like they can advance, or they don't feel like they can go somewhere else. And I think that is just because like once you get stuck in that mode of like, well, this is what I know how to do, this is what I'm good at, they no longer want to like reach for improvement, or like, or not necessarily they don't reach for improvement, like because they are constantly improving, but I don't feel like the opportunities that show up to them, they don't think like, oh, I should go try that, you know? So I think I've noticed where like within the company that I'm in, sometimes I feel like people could probably like advance or like get a different position, because there's, you can come in as a crew helper and then crew leader, and then you can be an irrigation technician, right? And that's a little bit more involved with like the sprinkler systems and irrigation system. And then after that, you can be a production manager. And now that becomes oversight over the whole route of like all the properties that we own, and going to help the crew leaders understand like what's the best possible way to attack this maintenance schedule. And then above that, after a production manager, then you can start thinking about being an account manager, because now you understand how everything runs, and then now you can speak with like property managers, HOAs. So there's definitely this ladder, but I think the barrier becomes like confidence with like computer skills, confidence with emailing, language barrier. Like everyone is like mainly Spanish speaking, so they always say like, oh, because I only speak Spanish, I probably can't do this. And I'm like, there's definitely a way where like they could support and they could like advance in the company. But I think I noticed that like sometimes you think of yourself as like, oh, I'm not good enough for that because I didn't have this or that, or like compared to like Spanish speaking, or like Spanish speaking but like American born versus like immigrant families. Like I do see this like contrast on like people's confidence to try to like improve and reach for like a higher level of positions and things like that.
No, I totally agree. I feel like although the agriculture industry is built like with a lot of immigrant people, like people especially being from Latin America, it's not, I guess, helped in a way for them to excel. Like a lot of them just stay in those positions where if it's a farm worker or a field worker, they don't get to excel because of that language barriers or because they're scared of because of the documentation status. And that's kind of something sad that I feel like is a change that we have to do. But it's kind of hard when we don't have those people in higher positions to be the voice. And I feel like little by
Yeah.
little we're gonna do that. Like you being that account manager, like you're kind of being one of those allies to them, like saying like even though like you may not be an immigrant, but you are a person of Latinx like background, that you can help them as well and like help them better. So I appreciate you like being that person. But like talking about like
Yeah.
your challenges yourself, like did you have anything like in Cal Poly that you like would say like was hard to overcome, like being a person of color in like just your major, like either engineering or the environmental management protection?
I will say, I think there are moments where like maybe first year, second year, where I was like struggling with like focusing in math class and then doing well in physics and then even understanding English and then like being able to memorize things for chemistry. And I was like, damn, dude, like everybody else gets this and I'm like having trouble focusing. And that's when I started realizing, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have like ADHD that's undiagnosed because my parents didn't believe in that shit when I was younger. And I think that's one of the stigmas in like Latino families is like, no lo tienes, like you're not going to the doctor, we're not gonna go check that. Like you're just gonna like just keep working more, do more work, or go play this, like stay distracted. And I was like, I remember just talking to my mom about it after like maybe my third year of college, where I was like, dude, this is kind of tough, you know? Like I don't know if I'm at the same level as everyone else, but I'm expected to like keep up with the same things. And like I talked to my mom and she's like, oh yeah, when you were younger, like the teachers used to say, like he like finishes all his work fast and then he gets distracted and distracts other people. She would just tell them, oh, just give him more homework or like give him more like tasks or give like I remember I was like a third grader and then she said, put him in the sixth grade English class. Like I was just jumping around doing the most instead of like getting a firm grasp on understanding that, hey, something's different about him, you know? So I think that was one of the main things, where like because that never got addressed as a child, like I just went into college always being like, dang, people can study for so long and I cannot sit still. Like there's just no way I'm gonna sit in this library for this many hours and actually focus the whole time. But other people can really do that. And I think that was the thing where I noticed like people are like, oh, as long as I study for 2 hours, and do my homework for like another 30 minutes, I'm good and I'm set for the quiz and the midterms. And I was like, what? Like it takes me like 3 days to accomplish what these people are saying they can do overnight. And I always felt like I had to put in like three times as much effort to get like the output of what these like other kids are like doing. And I was like, damn, they really just expect us all to do the same things. And I was like, this sucks. That was one of the main things for sure that I felt like. I was like, damn, if only I went to a doctor or something, or like.
I think like it is a big thing, especially in the Latinx community, like mental health or even anything like regarding your health. It's like, no, you should shy away from it. But also like
Yeah.
it has to do a lot, like a lot of people are low income and like we can't afford doctors and stuff like that. Or like it's even hard. Like for you, I'm pretty sure it was hard because you're constantly moving. So just to find a stable doctor too, like I bet that was hard too. So like it's not like it was the most accessible. But hopefully in the future, if you were to start a family, you have those resources. And because I know a lot of these things are can be passed down, but hopefully that's not the case. But if the if then
Now we're
you know,
trying to break those ties,
yeah,
generation.
try to break those ties. But even then, you already like know to look out and reach out for resources. But yeah, so like can you talk about more about like your position and what you currently do or how you got to your job actually,
Yeah, sure.
like whether it was an internship or how you found about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So when I started looking for jobs in the Bay, because after graduating, I stayed in SLO for a year. I had a seasonal job, and that one was more aligned with like what I graduated with, right? That was invasive plant species management at the Land Conservancy in San Luis Obispo, which was literally like kind of like a county job, but seasonal and nonprofit work. So that one was very involved with like us understanding like what plants are supposed to grow here, what do we need to get rid of, so how can we ensure the environment doesn't like get overwhelmed. And then after that, I was like, okay, I need to go back home. How do I where do I go? I was trying to find a job in the last like 2 months of being in SLO. And that's when I was just on LinkedIn, like, hey, what's the job? Like, I need some type of like I need to step up, like my position was field technician, so I was still looking. Field technician, field technician, field technician. Like, how can I apply this? And then somehow, like, I think I maybe put like because it was like field technician, it kind of helped like filter to this one job that was at Emerald Landscape, because it was like landscaping internship, to kind of just learn about the internship, or learn about the company, right? And then I saw the recruiter was Rebecca Sandoval, and I was like, okay, let me try to connect. And like I applied for it, and then heard nothing for like maybe like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, didn't hear back. And then I reached out to her because I saw she had a similar connection, and that was Marlene, my old housemate, and also the old like president of Latinos in Ag. And I was like, dude, networking, like there's no way. So I reached out to Marlene and I was like, how do you know Rebecca? Like, why are you guys connected on LinkedIn? And she goes, oh, you know Rebecca, that's this loud Latina, I love her. Like, I was at her baby shower in Gilroy, and I was like, baby shower, like what are you talking about? And apparently, yeah, so Rebecca had presented at Cal Poly for our club. I apparently missed it, but I reached out to Rebecca and I milked it. I was like, dude, you know my friend Madeline, like thank you for presenting at a club I used to be an officer for, like real, like trying to get in there, and I was like, can you help me out? I'm looking for an opportunity with Emerald Landscape. And she was quick, like I got a freaking interview in like 3 days from that message. And then I got an offer position in a week from reaching out to her, like an offer for the internship position. And I literally took my interview for the position of like intern on the beaches in Guadalupe and Nipomo Dunes, like out in my job still in Land Conservancy, sitting on the dunes. Like, I don't know how. Luckily, my phone data was working. I was on a Zoom call on my phone. And they were like, oh, are you comfortable like working outside in heat conditions? And I was like, do
You're
y'all
literally
I was like, do y'all see where I'm at right now? And they were like,
like,
whoa, like it looks so nice. And then it starts raining. And I was just like, I was trying to cover my phone. I was like, yeah, like blinking and shit. And I was like, hey, it's fine. I can work in all conditions, because I had left my raincoat like one bush over the dune over there. I'm like,
yeah.
dang. But yeah, like luckily knowing someone from like Cal Poly and Latinos in Ag connected me to a recruiter, which was like more than happy to help me. And she was excited to see like a Latino from Cal Poly, a club that she visits and tries to get people interested in the company with, reach out to her. So she helped me get that position, and I joined the internship around July of 2023. Finally moved back like end of June, and then 2 weeks off maybe, like after, like to like take a break, and then the internship started, and it wasn't exactly what I expected. The internship was supposed to be like hang out and work with the maintenance crews, understand what that meant, work with the irrigation technician and understand how their position is different, work with enhancement crew members, which are the ones that do the new plantings, removing old dead shrubs, even like trimming trees. Like they do a lot. And then the production manager, like I was supposed to learn the scope of like everyone, right? I probably got to learn like the front office, a little bit of irrigation. I never went with a maintenance crew. I did enhancement crew for one day. And then let's say it's been like 2 weeks. And when I had gotten there, one of the managers had left, not like quitting, but she had left and hadn't said when she was going to come back. So they were like, oh, you can sit at her desk. So since I got there, I was sitting at a manager's desk. And working there, right? And then by August, they were already like, you know, if you do want to apply for the manager position, I was like, I'm an intern. Y'all are already talking about a manager position. What you mean? Like, I don't understand. I barely know the company, you know? But it was quick. Like July 17th is when I started the internship, and then August 30th is when I finalized the position to be an account manager. And they had gone through the interview process with me. And I think they just knew that they saw how I was already helping all the other managers. Like, I was like, oh, this is how you can organize your Excel, or this is how you should actually fill out this form. This is how we can like simplify this graph. Like, they were like, what? What? And I was like, y'all gotta be more fluent in like Microsoft and like Google. I was like, you know, and that's where you can see like how college has helped us, I guess, because we literally
For
practice
sure.
that so much. But now it's been like a few months. Like, if that was August, it's April. I can't do math, but it's been a while. And I mean, every day I'm learning, I'm still making mistakes, but from those, I'm like getting able to being able to improve and like do better. So, yeah.
And can you talk about like what your day to day looks? I'm pretty sure it might look different. Like, do you work with crews? How's like the work culture there?
Yeah, so definitely. Now we finally switched back. We used to start at 6:30. Now we're starting at 6. So like I wake up at like 4:45. It's terrible. But we get to work, and with jobs like mine, there's always this like requirement to like stretch. So we have that morning stretch, all the guys together. And then that's when they're done stretching, it's like it starts, you know, like all right, these all the managers, we come out, we start getting our crews out, like organize your stuff. Hey, we need you to bring this fertilizer to this company. Put that on their grass. Hey, make sure you bring this special mower because the property's larger today. Like all the trucks are moving, guys are helping, they're filling up their water jugs. Like it's like commotion. That's like 6:30 to 7 a.m. is like boom, boom, boom. Everybody's getting out. Then we send all the routes out, and that's when we kind of have like a little bit of breathing room, and then we gotta handle all the emails. Like, oh, this is leaking, this is broken, this shrub is dying. Like it's a bunch of like, what can we handle for maintenance? And then also, now the requirement is for us as account managers to sell products. So like sell new plants, sell new like designs. When it comes to repairs, that also costs money. Like, hey, I'm gonna have to fix this part of your irrigation system. So we have to go visit properties. Sometimes I'll do property walks with clients. Like, hey, I don't like how the property looks. Okay, let's walk the property. And they can talk about their expectations. Like, I want this to be cut at this height. And I was like, okay, I'll communicate that with my crew leader. And that's one of the most important parts, is creating like a good relationship with your contacts, the property managers, you know, and the board members, because they're the ones who eventually have to be like, okay, yes, we'll pay like $200 for you to repair this, or 300, you know. But yeah, it's a constant like balance. Your crew members being like, oh, Josue, like I just got in a car crash, like literally, like so. Then that happened not too long ago, like right before I went on PTO, and I was like, you weren't even working. Like the guy that got in a car crash was on, and he was doing like physical therapy, and he was just driving the truck. And I'm like, all right, come back to the yard. And he called me like 2 minutes later. He's like, I rear-ended a car. And I'm like, dude. So that's the more like paperwork side, because now we have to fill out an incident report. Then I have to like go over like all the information, then call like the fleet, which is like the reporting service of our company. And it's like this whole thing. So it's balancing, right? Like our crews, making sure we get all the like clients taken care of, walk the properties, sell products, sell like repairs, make sure everyone gets to like use their safety gear, because it's very important. We don't want our guys to get hurt. And then we're always reminding them, like I think every Tuesday we have a safety meeting with the crews, and then every Friday managers have a safety meeting with our like regional area. So that'll be like Sacramento, Concord, Manteca, us in Livermore, Hayward, San Jose. We all join on that. on a Teams meeting, and we go over like, hey, here's an incident report that occurred. Like someone once someone like stuck their hand in like a wood chipper, it was all
Oh,
bad. Like it was bad. And it's
is
like
terrible.
that's why we say don't hold like items when you're touching them into the wood chipper. And then also like be careful when you're pruning, because if your gloves are old, like the pruner will go through your gloves and you'll get cut.
Yeah.
So we go over those things, and then we have to like pivot and then bring that over to our teams. But it's so back to back, and everything happens so fast. Like you look up from your desk after like finally finishing your emails, creating a few proposals to send out to the clients to say, hey, like you should, if you pay for this, we'll do this for you guys. And
Yeah.
you look up and it's like 12 p.m. But like for us, that's like 6 hours already in the day, you
Wow.
know. And it's like, dang, I gotta eat lunch.
You're
So
like, oh, I forgot
everything
to
just,
eat.
yeah, it's just back to back to back, especially if you have to do a bunch of site walks on one day. It's like if you're away from your desk for too long, it's like, okay, you get back and you're like, oh, there's no way for me to actually like create these images, create these designs. Like I'll try to do mock-ups with plants on your property. Like this is what it'll look like, and then I can give that to you. But that takes time, and then I also have to reply to like people with urgent matters, and then I also have to like still come up with like how can I constantly be like on top of the maintenance guys. Like, hey, you guys make sure like you're not putting less time on this property because we're noticing that they're emailing us more. Like, hey, there's more weeds. Hey, this hedge hasn't been touched in like 2 to 3 weeks. It's like, what are you doing? You know, we're there every week. Come on, guys, you know.
Yeah.
It's always about like being respectful with them and creating like good relationship that's like it's like it can be friendly, it can be funny, but also it's like it has to be like business at the same time, you know. Like, hey, when I ask you this, I expect it to be completed and get
Yeah.
done. You know, I shouldn't have to like follow up with you 3 times on something I requested to you like on a Friday, you know. So balancing that as well, but it's been fun and it's been good. And I think it does help that I have led teams before this job, because they just threw me into it. But I have had teams that I organized for events in San Jose. I worked with the city of Sunnyvale, and even in my job in San Luis Obispo, like our crew leader, well, crew leader, I say that now, but he was supposed to be like our field crew lead. But I feel like that was maybe his first time leading a crew. So sometimes I would start organizing how we were gonna split our day in order for it to actually be efficient and effective, like to get our job done.
Yeah.
So yeah, just applying a lot of things, but you know, teamwork, collaboration, da da da, you know, all
Yeah.
that in one day. Yeah. And you just come back, like sometimes you're like more tired, like mentally fatigued more than
Yeah.
like you are physically fatigued, you
Yeah.
know. It's a weird
Yeah.
feeling.
That's kind of a bit of everything. You kind of do like outside work, field work, working with people. So I'm pretty sure it's like really hectic. But I know you just started this position, but do you envision yourself doing something else later on in the future, like within the company or without the company? Like, what would you say is like your ideal job?
Yeah, actually, and don't show this to my company, but I'm like looking into a job right now that's an environmental planner, and I
Oh,
think
wow.
that aligns more with what I want to do. And that's gonna be like assessing either new projects or buildings that already exist within the city on their alignment with the codes, laws, regulations of California, which can be like the California Environmental Quality Act, like CEQA, and then the Water Act of like that has like years, and you have to like always check like, hey, does this align with this? Does the emissions from this building go over the allowed rate, right? And it's like, okay, if they're emitting too much, now we have to like tell them like you have to lower it, or we're gonna start charging you more based on this, and this. But I think I would enjoy more like applying that, like what I learned, and like helping companies like have less of an environmental impact, and knowing that I helped with that, you know, instead of like selling and making money for a company, I'd like to have more of a like a direct impact on the environment. And I think that's what I've always wanted. Eventually, though, in the future, I do think what I want to have an impact on is like communities. And I've always thought it'd be really, really cool to travel with like US money, US company, and help outside of the US communities that really need it, you know.
Yeah.
Either learning how to like plant your own food and, you know, be a little bit more self-sustaining, or how to create like a water filtration system, or like a simple irrigation system where now you can like use rainwater and you don't have to worry about your like plants as much as like hand watering them. So I've always thought that would be really cool to apply as well. And I do see how like my landscaping job is teaching me a lot of things that I can now understand about like that side of the world when it comes to environmental impact as well. It was like, oh, okay, I understand why this building is like this because I know that the landscaping company is doing this. And but where does the waste go from the landscaping company, and how does that impact the environmental emissions of this and this and this? Like, it's a big little enredado, but like, yeah, I think, yeah, I do want to start seeing like how can I help different like people or companies like lower their emissions, lower their like carbon footprint, and like feel good about that, like not in like a hey, you better freaking stop it, but more like like this would actually improve your ability to save money while also like allowing us to like save the earth,
I totally agree, and then I'm really excited for you to continue with your journey. I know you just started this position, but I mean, everyone's track changes like from one thing to another. Like you said, like the interview with this company started within 3 days. Like some,
It
who
was
knows,
great.
like
It's
something can
great.
always happen within a couple months, couple weeks, or even years. But now that we're kind of just finishing wrapping it up, what would you like to see agriculture in the future? Like, how do you want it to see, like for the community, for yourself, or like in general, like how do you want the ag industries to look like?
Dang, yeah. I think one of the things that interested me with when it was around fourth year, I think was like vertical farming. And like what is it like
Hydroponics.
hydroponics? Like I thought that was really cool because I felt like it was super like space saving because now we live in such like big cities, overpopulated, like there's no room to grow outwards, even though California does have like all this ag land. Like when you start thinking about like big cities and like okay, we're constantly importing our food, like would it be better for us to have locally sourced food that we grow in a different way that can still be as nutritious and still like work, So I really wanted there to be like a shift in like growing your own food at home, and like that has to be like a cultural shift though. Like it has to start from like young, like children learning that hey, it makes sense. It's normal to like grow your own herbs and grow your own like, lechuga or whatever, and eventually like like maybe they always say like, oh, buy local, go to your farmers markets. But it's like, I wonder like if the people that are doing the farmers markets, like, do they supply their own food to themselves, and that's their normal way of living, But for us who like live in more like urban lifestyles, we're just like, all right, let's go to
Yeah,
Trader
more
Joe's.
metropolitan area.
Exactly. It's like we're not used to like putting our hands in the dirt and actually like watching our food grow. And I think that's like a cultural shift that I did want to see. But when I think more big picture, it does feel like for heavily densely populated areas, I did think like vertical farming with hydroponics was like a cool way to like implement that and also keep it like compact and like still able to feed like a lot of people, at least in like one way of whatever they grow, like one section.
Oh yeah, I think vertical farming is gonna be like a new thing that a lot of urban metropolitan areas are gonna get into, but no, I think everything that you shared is really amazing. We're kind of coming to a conclusion, but is there anything that you want to share with the people, the listeners out here? Like, do you want to share anything or anything else you want to say?
Man, I don't know. I mean, if you guys are looking for any jobs within agriculture or within landscaping or anything in Livermore area, I have a few connections. I have friends that work in Accenture and SF, HR managers that work in SF. Like if you're even looking for what little opportunity, if you're trying to come to the Bay Area, if you do want to connect with me on LinkedIn, it is literally like my first name dash my last name. Don't be shy. Like literally just say you found me on this podcast. It don't matter. Like, but yeah, I'm always happy to like help people that are looking for a job or looking for like what's an opportunity or what should I practice in order to be good at what I want to do. Giving that advice because I know I was there and I wish that someone would have told me or someone would have been that person. So always feel free. Yeah.
Alrighty, well, thank you, and we'll see you guys the next episode. Thank you also for being our first guest in our podcast in episode 2.